Hey, and welcome to today's morning show with our Period 1 class. Today's issue, privacy. And no, we're not talking about bathrooms at home. We're talking about school. And to start us off, I'm going to talk about Facebook privacy and how schools can access it. Steven, would you like to start us off with something?
I would love to start you off.
Let me ask you a few questions.
Okay.
To start this off here. Let me ask you a few questions. How far does high school authority go? How far does a university's authority go? Does a high school have the authority to monitor a student's private life? These are all things that I think are critical issues in this discussion about a high school or university monitoring Facebook. I mean, I have several quasi-reputable sources within Schreiber High School that believe neither a high school nor a college should be monitoring the personal lives of students.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, students are taking part in less than appropriate activities outside of school that a school may deem as inappropriate. I mean, it's these activities shouldn't be monitored by the school because it's outside the school's jurisdiction. You know, a student is seen doing drugs, maybe drinking. I mean, these are all things for the authorities to take care of because a student is underage or doing something illegal. But the school should have no bearing on the situation because what's going on is not happening in the school.
Right, but can I ask you this? See, if you're applying to a college and you're everything this college wants, but you don't show them the real you, are you really a perfect fit for that school? If you are the biggest drinker in the world and you apply to Princeton and they don't want you to drink there, are you going to say, well, I don't drink, and then if they find pictures of you being dishonest to them, is that really you? Should you really go to that school?
Well, we're not talking about universities. Yeah, that's a completely separate issue, I think. And you bring up an excellent point. If a student lies outright to a high school, college, or university, that should be something that's taken into account. But generally speaking, a college or university should not be looking into someone's Facebook or internet life or private life in general.
Here a quote from an extremely reputable source, Dylan Snyder. He says, if I'm doing something stupid enough to get me in trouble and putting it on Facebook, then I deserve it. I must agree with this because I think that if you are you asking to get caught, do you really want to put a picture of you smoking weed on the internet so everybody can see? I mean, people's parents have Facebook now. Do you want your girlfriend or boyfriend's mom to be like, oh, there's Johnny. He's smoking crack.
Dumb students will be dumb students, but this is not a question of, you know, students being students more than it is a question of ethics.
Right.
A college or university should not be looking into a student's private life unless it immediately conflicts with the college's interests, because it's common business practice for a corporation or an organization to interview a candidate to learn what they're like in the workplace and leave their private life at home. It's considered extremely unorthodox and unethical for a company to look into someone's private life through Facebook. So why should it be any different for a university?
Well, here's the thing. Do you remember the whole Sports Night scandal 2 years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Everybody who takes part in Sports Night or Blue and White Night, they sign a form that says there will be no team drinking or hazing or any illegal activities going on whatsoever. Now, these people, A, were dishonest about it, B, put pictures of them doing the illegal activities on the internet, and C, got caught. So, my point being that if you're going to lie about something, then be stupid enough to put it out in the public. And yes, Facebook is a public accessible website. You can't go around lying and then expect that your school or parents or somebody is not going to catch up with you.
And I somewhat agree with you on this, because if a student is lying outright to authorities or to parents or whoever, and there's evidence of what they did, then and I agree with you, they do deserve to get caught, and Facebook is a useful tool. But I want to open up a new window here.
Okay.
Misinterpretation. Things get said on Facebook, things get posted on the internet in a blog or whatever, that may be understandable to students and their friends.
Right.
But a school could read it and take something the wrong way. I mean, this happens all the time. I can't think of an immediate example off the top of my head.
It's also extremely hard to read sarcasm on the internet.
Yes.
I do agree with
you.
There's some things that are going to be misread because kids have inside jokes and whatnot, and then it'll go on from there, and people won't understand. And Go on.
So someone will make a death threat on Facebook or something. Say, oh, I'm going to kill you, man. And it's all in good fun, all in good jest. School reads that. You know, they're reading through someone's Facebook. They see that. And all of a sudden, all attention is zeroed in on that one statement. They overlook the comical background to it, and it becomes a legal issue.
Right. So we can agree here that, A, schools should not be so interested in your private life, but if you're going to outright lie to them, then they should have the right to go in there and stop you.
I would agree with this.
Right, so we have come to a conclusion on our Facebook argument, discussion, and now we're moving on to... We're opening it to discussion to the people in the conference room.
And before that, let me just say what I told people in the conference room. We should not use any last names of people that we have interviewed in this, as we will leave people to only a first or last name. So, Facebook, well done, a big issue. There are two sides of the story. What do the further fellow DJs have to say about this?
Can I bring it back to the sports night thing?
Yes, but of course we're not using any names or anything.
Of course, no names. All right, well, I used to think that it was really, like, stupid that they got in trouble for it because it wasn't on the school property. It didn't really have much to do with the school, but I thought Bonnie brought up a really good point by saying that they did sign something to promise that they wouldn't do it and whatnot. So them getting in trouble, I think they kind of did deserve because they had signed it, and then they were stupid enough to put it on Facebook.
What kind of trouble did they actually get in?
I believe they were suspended, or in-school suspension.
And what was the issue that happened?
For those that don't know, a few years ago, there was a sleepover before sports night, and at the sleepover party, there was drinking and smoking going on.
What?
That's terrible.
So the bigger issue, though, is what do you guys feel about this Facebook issue? Should you be allowed to use it in school? Should you be able to log on to it during...
Yes.
Why?
Because it is fun.
That's
I mean, it's a public website. It's not like it's...
This is not hurting anyone.
One at a time. Okay. Dylan?
This is a public school, and so a public website should be allowed to be accessed on a public school.
No. If we're off... Then you can use it because not doing anything wrong. You're not in class. You're not like doing it rather than going to class. If you're off, then why not? It's not like affecting anyone, and it doesn't spoil your mind.
I don't understand why it matters if people want to go into school. Why can't you just go on at home? I mean, it doesn't really bother me that it's not available in school. I don't need to be sitting here during school going on Facebook.
And that brings up the obvious point about distractions. And this show is about privacy. Facebook, as well as other websites you're not allowed to go on during the school day, is that a good decision?
I do agree. There shouldn't be a Facebook here, and there shouldn't be a YouTube, because those websites are time wasters. I go on that website to check, you know, to see if somebody said anything to me, or go on YouTube to check out a video that somebody sent me, and then 3 hours later, I'm starting my homework. So, I mean, I don't think that we should have them at school, because if you're on an off period, and off periods are really meant for working, it's just, you know, you'll go on for one thing, and next thing you know, you're right here in next class.
Go ahead.
I thought we were talking about, like, should the school be able to, like, monitor it also?
Yeah, we are.
So, I don't think they should be able to monitor what somebody writes on somebody else's wall at all. Because I know incidents where people just get completely, like, misquoted, and then they get in trouble for that. Or, even if it's not misquoted, it's between the person and the other person that they wrote it on. Because I don't understand how anything involved with Facebook that's not... If it's not allowed in school, how anything that is involved with Facebook is... anything involved with Facebook should involve the school getting involved at all.
Well, I think that it depends on the situation. If it's a... Like, if something about the blue and white night scandal, if it's something like that, then yeah, I think they should be allowed to...
Yeah.
To check Facebook because.
Can you be quiet? He's not on. Let me hear you.
It is on though. It's on in these mics. These mics pick everything up. You gotta be quiet.
We heard you.
Sorry, guys. We were just talking about the rest of the show. Anyway, that's all the time we have for our Facebook talk. Now we're moving on to off campus, whether there should be or should not be for underclassmen, and how the regulations apply. All right, guys, take it away.
It's all you. You have the paper.
Okay. Well, as we all know, that underclassmen cannot go off campus, which I think personally that doesn't really make sense. Just because, like, because upperclassmen can go off campus, and yes, I see why, because they're older, but they're not that much older than underclassmen, like freshmen and sophomores. The age difference is only between 1 and 3 years, and that people might say, well, they might be more mature. Well, sometimes a freshman is probably more mature than a senior, or a sophomore will be more mature than a junior. And plus, some people might say that they have more work to, they have more responsibilities to attend to, so sometimes they need to, they deserve to get a break every once in a while. But if they have more things to attend to, then why are they getting more breaks than underclassmen who really don't have that much to worry about?
Well, I just want to take it to your point about how juniors and seniors maybe have more important responsibilities to take care of. Well, at the same time, freshmen and sophomores, underclassmen, are still getting accustomed to high school lifestyle since they're in their first or second year. And I think it's the part of high school that you need to be more accustomed to is the working part, the study-intensive part, because you have the most important part of your education ahead of you, and you need to prepare for that. And I think that the ability to go off campus that early, when you should be concentrating more on what classes you're taking right now, what you might be taking in the future, what areas of study you want to concentrate on, I don't think that it's really the place for you to be allowed off the school grounds. I mean, you have the cafeteria, you have the commons, you have the library. I say that with trepidation, but yeah. And you have places in the school designated for breaks. You don't need to go off campus. You still need to study much harder. And, you know, juniors and seniors are used to it, perhaps more so than freshmen and sophomores.
Well, like, when I say that we should be able to go off campus, I don't really mean, like, we should be able to go off campus and go places. Like, really, like, when upperclassmen go off campus, what do they usually go off for? They probably go off to go get lunch or something like that. So why can't we go off to get lunch? And if it's the case that we're, like, just getting accustomed to high school and we don't really know how to handle responsibilities like that, then we have limitations to, like, to go off campus. Like, we can only go as far as this way, or we can only go as far as that way. Like, we don't really necessarily have to go all the way all over Port Washington.
The thing is, you're coming from middle school where you were not allowed off the school grounds regardless, and you didn't have off periods. You had lunch, and that was it. You had a 30-minute lunch, and you were done. If you were to come into high school, and maybe this doesn't apply to you specifically, but in general, coming to high school and then giving you complete freedom, you can go off campus and do stuff. You might end up, you know, taking advantage of that because you're not used to having the ability, the responsibility to do such a thing.
That's why I say, like, then have limitations as for freshmen and sophomore. Okay, you can only go this far, and then once you're a junior or a senior, then you can go out.
But that would require paying more staff to make sure that you stay in the vicinity of the school. And given the budgetary concerns, that's not going to work.
You have a point.
And at the same time, the rule's been in effect for a while now, and underclassmen continue to say, you know, well, we're mature enough, we're just as mature juniors and seniors, we can go off. At the same time, freshmen and sophomores are disobeying the current rule and sneaking off.
Well, yeah, because we don't have it. Like,
It's still a rule. Regardless of the fact that you disagree with the fact that it's a rule, you don't disobey the rule because you disagree.
That's true. Yes, it is a rule, so underclassmen and freshmen who do disobey the rule shouldn't really go off campus. So that's just adding on to why we don't have the privilege. But it's like, with a teenager, if your parents tell you to do something and you want to do it anyway, you're going to do it regardless of what your parents say, because many teenagers do that. So there's really, what's the difference between doing what your parents tell you not to do and then going off campus when you know you're not to?
Doesn't make it right, though.
Exactly, it's going to make it right. So, why don't we, like, put a limitation on it? And just not even really, like, put the rule out there, but just, like, try it out first. And if it doesn't work, then we wait until the junior year.
All right, guys, we're going to open this up for discussion. I'm going to start it off with saying that I know that this issue has been going on for the longest time, ever since the off-campus policy was instated. And I think that it's really an innocent thing for a freshman or sophomore to go off campus because, you know, usually they're just looking to go eat some food. And to be honest with you, I think that juniors and seniors abuse their privilege way more often than a sophomore or a freshman would. You know, if I'm just going down to get some pizza somewhere, that's one thing. But, you know, juniors and seniors have taken it a little too far, in my opinion, and gone off into the woods and done some illegal things. Not saying that a sophomore or a freshman won't do that, but I'm saying a lot of the times a sophomore and a freshman is going off campus is more of like, I'm in high school and I want to try doing something.
Exactly. Like, I don't really mean that we should go off campus and go to Manhattan or something like that. We just really want to go get something to eat for lunch. That's mainly what upperclassmen do when they go off campus. They don't go to the woods or they don't go to Hempstead or anything like that. They just go to Subway or they might go to another place to go get something to eat. They don't really go all over the place.
The more students you allow off campus at a time, from every single grade level, the more chance of an incident occurring off of school grounds that is then blamed on the school for allowing the students the privilege to leave, and that eliminates the privilege altogether.
Yeah, but you can't really, like, things are going to happen regardless of who's going off campus or which grade is going off campus. That's inevitable.
But you need to then see that there's a lesser chance of the older students having an incident just because they're older, they're more mature.
Well, I wouldn't say everybody who's older is more mature.
Right, I agree. Not everybody, but I'm saying generally.
Now, what if there was some sort of slip or permission slip that your parents signed and said, I think my son or daughter is a liable source, is someone who can go off campus and not be a nuisance to the town. What if we got somebody to sign something like that? Would that be a good decision?
Well, I think that definitely brings in parent accountability.
How would they ever monitor that?
Well, I think that we'd have to ask the parents to be really honest. Now, I know a lot of parents think their children are angels and never do anything wrong, but there are parents out there who are honest about their kids and will be willing to say, no, my child is not mature enough to go off campus as a freshman or sophomore.
Yeah, and even if people don't believe the parents, you can get the assistant principal to say, well, okay, I know this child, and I haven't had a problem with this person since they've been here at the school, so I think they should be allowed the privilege to go off campus. And then just have the principal sign it, or assistant principal.
I think you could definitely try it, because I think that the biggest concern that the school has is that they'll be held responsible for anything that goes wrong off campus with their students. If you have a permission slip signed by parents, it's no longer, the school has, you know, given the parents the chance to sign off on it. If the parents didn't, then obviously the student shouldn't be allowed off. And I think that maybe protocol should be put into place where every student needs their ID when going off campus at every single time, and that when they show it to the guards, that the guards have a way to check to see if that child is allotted the time to go.
Kind of like in New York City when you go into like a bar or something and you have your driver's license and they actually scan it to see if it's legit.
Absolutely.
Right. Something like that would be perfect. Does anybody else want to talk about anything to do with this issue?
You're suggesting that the guards scan student IDs as they go off campus?
Obviously not scan.
I'm just saying, like, there should be
like something on the ID that says
they
got
should be
on the ID, or yeah, they can walkie-talkie and they can check.
Well, I mean, I know the underclass ID card is, I think it's red or something. Meanwhile, if you're a upperclassman, it's blue. So I mean, that's the way they check. They just look at your ID card.
Right, but that's for the different colors. But that's for grade level, and I think that The solution is that you would have certain students, underclassmen, who are allowed, and then there would be something else to identify them.
Yeah,
on
like
their
maybe
card.
A signature on the card or something like that.
Anyway, we're going to move on now to our next topic, which is locker searches and whether they should be allowed or not.
All right, Noah Bonnie just said this is locker searches and privacy, and it's whether or not the school has the right to search students' lockers. And I'm going to give you the pro discussion of this, why schools should be able to search student lockers. A big thing is that the lockers are part of school property. It's part of the school. The school paid for it. The school made it and everything. So what's in the school lockers, it is part of the school now because it's inside the lockers. Also, a big thing is if there's any sort of reasonable suspicion that a student has brought in an illegal drug, a firearm, a knife, or anything, the school should absolutely be allowed to search it if there's any, whether or not it might be private to the student, if there's reasonable suspicion that a student, you know, is, you know, has some sort of dangerous object or something, the school should be able to search it, especially with, like, drugs or firearms or something. And a school should have the right to know what their students are doing on campus or what's going on campus. It's inside the school. A big case about this went to the Supreme Court. A high school student, TLO, was searched by her assistant principal, and the assistant principal found marijuana, rolling papers, and a lot of $1 bills in her purse inside of her locker. And TLO had admitted to smoking the marijuana. And when brought to court, TLO used the Fourth Amendment, which states against unreasonable searches and seizures. And she also stated that her admitting to smoking marijuana should be suppressed because it was tainted by an unlawful search. So that case, originally TLO had won it, but then the school board had appealed for it, and it wound up going all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court concluded that because you're a student, your rights are limited, and they don't go to the full extent of the Constitution because you're in an environment where one can easily danger other students, and TLO was found guilty. Of course, because it was only marijuana, it wasn't like she got a huge sentence or anything, but it certainly got a lot of publicity and went all the way to the Supreme Court. So, yeah, here's Doug with why schools shouldn't be allowed to.
All right, well, I mean, every person needs their privacy. And a bunch of people will definitely abuse the privilege of having their locker not be able to be searched, they still should have the privacy to their own locker. I mean, lately, like, schools around the country have been searching throughout students' lockers for illegal substances and violent weapons or such, and half of the time they don't even find anything, and then it's just invasion of privacy. I mean, it is true that each student's locker is school property. However, the property is lent to students, therefore it's technically their property. I mean, I think most Strasburg students would agree with me that a locker is a place where it's almost their property, even though it is a school property. I mean, Strasburg High School student Dean says that even though lockers may technically be school property, it still is the student's place thing. And as Eddie goes along with, a locker is a student's little place, and the school should respect that. I mean, how many times, how stupid could a kid be would a kid be to put something, some illegal substance or some weapon in their locker when the school has access to it? I mean, I really don't think many kids abuse the privilege of a locker. I think that they realize that the school will search it if they can, whether it be unlawful or not. And that it's not right for them to keep something that would not be justified in their locker. I understand the pro-locker search argument, but I disagree with it. I mean, that's about it.
All right, let's open it up to our forum, starting with Harry.
To my knowledge, I think lockers are searched by administrators or authorities or whatever when they have a suspicion of you having anything illegal or weapon or whatever it is in your locker. And I feel like the main way they could figure that out is from Turnitin. When people put reports on Turnitin, I mean...
Report it.
Yeah, report it. Yeah, that's what I meant. Reportit.com. I mean, I know people who put false accusations on Reportit.com, and I know people whose names have turned... who's been reported, but they're not true. So, I mean, I know a bunch of people who's getting searched through their lockers, through their pants, their shoes, whatever, even though they're false reports, so I don't really...
Yeah, I don't think Reportit.com is a very reliable source, because it's so easy to just make up something if you're mad at someone or you dislike someone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's... We live in a society where, you know, using somebody's name or, you know, ratting them out isn't a good thing. It's looked down upon, and I don't think many students would be willing to be like, oh, well, there's somebody who I don't really know, or even if I do know them and I don't like them, they're not going to want to go online and just report something about them, and because that could start a whole thing with them getting involved, and then the whole, like, people will get mad at them because they're ratting somebody out, and, you know, yeah, ratting somebody out's not a good thing, but I have to say that locker searches, if you're afraid of them, what are you hiding? And if you're not, then you must not have anything, you know?
Well, I think the major question here that we have to ponder is, what is more important, your rights or the safety of the school at large?
Your rights.
The safety.
Well, why?
Because, so you guys.
Okay, well, I think it depends on the assistant principals and the principals and whatnot, because yes, like if a student has an illegal substance or a firearm in their locker, the school has the right to search it because it is their property. But I think everybody will agree that high school is bad enough as it is to be here 4 years. There's a lot of things we have to go through, so sometimes we just want a little privacy, and the locker is really the only place we have for privacy. So if you're going to search it, be absolutely positive that I have something in the locker. But if you think I have something in the locker, then I personally don't think you should be searching my locker, because that's the only type of privacy I have in the school.
At the same time, I think that, I mean, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, the locker searches that I've been aware of, that I've heard about, have all rendered results of some sort. Either the person was caught with stuff in their lockers, or it led to them giving information about somebody who had stuff in their locker. And I think until you see locker searches where they're not finding anything, you're not going to see them looking for an alternative.
Right.
To that.
Yeah, we're going to take a break for 1 second and be right back. We're going to play a short, quick PSA.
Total Alarm Company, this is Todd.
Yeah, hi. Can you guys handle pretty big jobs?
How big are we talking?
Well, super duper big, Todd.
Yeah, this is my dad's business. I just work here summers.
Well, he is going to be so proud of you. You are about to lock in a deal to install a smoke alarm system in every single forest in America.
Cool. Like, the buildings there? The ranger places?
No, the forest.
I don't understand.
Well, we are a group of concerned citizens, and we want to install alarm systems in the forest to alert the animals. You guys probably see the effects of people's lack of respect for fire all the time, right?
Yeah. Dad?
Yeah?
This is Claude. What can I do for you?
Can you install a smoke alarm system in every forest in America?
This is a joke.
No, we just want to combat people's bad behavior and warn the animals when there's a fire.
Only you can prevent wildfires. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, the Ad Council, and this station.
Okay, we're back with our show about privacy. You just heard about our locker situation. Now we're moving on to our bathroom situation.
Well, today, Bathrooms are heavily graffitied. People take markers, whiteout, anything you can use, drawing names, pictures, practically anything they just think of. So, I mean, this has led many principals, assistant principals, to lock the main bathrooms. I mean, they leave open the, they're leaving open some bathrooms, but a lot of them are being locked. I agree because, just because the, this is school property as well, and vandalism is actually pretty serious. You can get in a lot of trouble for that. Yeah, I know that.
Well, what I think is that with the whole bathroom issue, I agree with the, obviously vandalism is not the correct thing to do, but I think that an open bathroom with vandalism is much better than a closed bathroom, because when you're running around looking for one of the two bathrooms that are open, I don't think this goes as much for girls, but more for guys, that you're looking for one of two bathrooms to go into, and when you get to the bathroom and you really, really have to go, and you get there and then it's not open, and you have to run around and try to find one that's open, it's just so annoying, and you're late for, you're late from class, you're out for a while looking for a bathroom to go to, and honestly, the vandalism in there, I mean, if it's that major, take it down, but don't take 2 weeks to take it down, because I don't understand why the bathrooms are closed for 2 weeks, and I don't think the vandalism in general causes any problems to me. I don't, I, the bathroom's for going to the bathroom, not reading. So, I mean, with vandalism, I don't really see any problem with some of the stuff they're, like, they were writing fetus. It didn't affect me going to the bathroom. I could still go to the bathroom and have fetus on the walls. I didn't see any problem with it. And even though vandalism is not right, I don't think it should be a reason to close the bathroom for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty extreme, closing it for 2 weeks, but I mean...
Well, it's closed, not for 2 weeks, but for a long time.
I mean, yeah, it's annoying just because you got to run around and then you finally find one, but then there's just a huge line, so... I mean, I understand that, just vandalism, I mean, to the school, to the authorities and stuff, it's just not acceptable towards them, so...
What, another thing, though, is the people that decide to close the bathrooms are the principals... And they don't have to use the bathroom that we're using. They have their own private bathroom. They have a teacher's bathroom that they can use. And that thing's not closed. There's no graffiti in there. I understand that. So why should they have the authority to close our bathrooms? I mean, if I, because we can't use their bathrooms. I mean, I know people that have to go so bad that they know that the only bathroom that is definitely open is the nurse's office bathroom. And they go into the nurse's bathroom, and that's where they go. And it's safe. It's a safer bet because I'm just sitting by the cafeteria, and you go to the one by the technology wing, and it's not open, and then you have to run all the way down to where the B and the A wings are, and that's far, and then you're late going back to class, and your teacher's wondering where you were. So, and also, I mean, I know some of the bathrooms, they close the bathroom sometimes, like fifth and sixth period. I mean, what's the point of that also? Is that when the vandalism goes on, are they just closing it because they don't want to close it after the school ends? I think they're being lazy about the whole bathroom idea.
Did you get any quotes from the assistant principal?
No.
And talk to him about it?
No.
So your journalism will be flawed, and if you don't understand something, you should have gone to the source.
We tried, but he wasn't there.
You tried once, mm-hmm. So you could have gone again. Well, let me ask you then, as a faculty member, these new bathrooms that were opened up, these were bathrooms that, when the new construction, they're pretty nice looking yep. bathrooms, and as soon as they're opened, there is graffiti. So if they invest a lot of money into nice bathrooms and the students can't behave with them, why should they leave them open so that the new things should get destroyed?
Because bathroom's not about looking nice. It's about going to the bathroom, being able to go to the bathroom. I mean, I'm fine with having a less tidy bathroom that's open because I think it's more important to have a bathroom open because I don't feel like running around the school looking for a bathroom to go in because it's not fun. And so I understand the whole money issue, and that was actually something I wanted to bring up against it because I think that you're spending so much money, why close it at any point? It's just a waste of the money.
All right, well, let's open it up to everybody here. These bathrooms, I'm going to guess that as a student body, you would probably be bothered when people do graffiti in the bathroom because it leads to this, as opposed to humored by it? No? Yes? Dylan Steiner?
Don't have to read it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think I'm bothered by the fact that they're doing graffiti and the fact that it leads to this. I mean, if they did the graffiti and they were reprimanded and the graffiti was removed, but without this whole thing that goes on because of that, I wouldn't be as bothered by it. And I absolutely agree, and I see where the school is coming from for the vandalism. You know, it's public property. It's school property. They're not supposed to. You never do that. And there should be serious consequences. But at the same time, first off, I don't know which bathrooms are closed at any one time.
Oh, well, usually it's the ones that are
always closed.
That are in the new wing, those three. The mm-hmm. ones going straight down, you know, library to the B wing to the A wing. Those are always closed when that this happens. The ones by the technology and choir room are always closed, and that leaves open three bathrooms in the entire school for the boys' population.
And sometimes the one in the technology wing, like by those, like the auto tech, is also closed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Sometimes, see, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I never could tell you, you know, which ones at any one time are closed. So I think that should be made quite clear, so that when people have to go to the bathroom, they know I'm going to have to go here, so that what you were talking about, you know, running around the school looking for one, doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. You know, you said 2 weeks. I mean, we're not exactly sure, but it does take a long time for it to reopen, if it ever. You know,
are they trying to discipline us? Or are they just trying to clean it?
Why should we all suffer because one person's mistake?
And the content of what they're writing is just ridiculous. I mean, had it been a quote from, you know, I'm not saying to go out and do this, but had it been a quote like Martin Luther King or something, I don't think that would have been as big of a problem. But what they're writing is unbelievable, ridiculous, untrue, just ridiculous things. And I think that's part of the reason why it's taking so long, because everybody who's written something, it's all over the place, and it's taking so long for them to, they actually go in there to scratch it off.
I just don't understand why. What's harder, not going to the bathroom when you have to go, or not reading the graffiti on the wall?
Oh, believe me, I agree with you. I think that closing a bathroom is preposterous, because, I mean, it's denying someone of their basic rights. And what I'm calling for is all bathrooms having whiteboards all over the place.
Yep.
That at the end of the day, if somebody writes this, you go in there and you erase it.
Well, I don't know.
If you want.
This doesn't usually happen for the girls. Okay, this doesn't usually happen for the girls, so we're pretty good on this part. But as far as the boys, I can understand why they would be upset, because if somebody's writing graffiti on the walls and they close down a bathroom for that, that doesn't really, I don't really understand that. No student should have to be running around the school looking for a bathroom when there's like, where there's enough bathrooms on one floor as it is. And plus, like, it's not, if they're not really writing anything that bad, what's really the point? And it doesn't take days to clean a bathroom if one spot has one four-letter word on it. All you need is water to wash it off.
I have a question. Why can't they just, if regular techniques don't work, water, why can't they just paint over it?
Exactly.
And close it for a few hours while it dries.
But then once you paint over it, they'll just rewrite over it.
But a word doesn't stop you from using the bathroom. Exactly. If I have to use the bathroom, I'm not going to say, oh, look, fetus, I can't go.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That makes no sense.
And if you want to clean it, then you can do it over the weekend when there's no school there. After school, you can do it after school, and you don't have to close them down the entire time.
But the janitors have different jobs to do than wash off the graffiti in the bathroom.
Yeah, but then we have to go to the bathroom though. So,
all right. Well, we're gonna have to. We have a lot more to say, I'm sure. Let's remind you that the program you're listening to may contain language and material that can be considered offensive. The views expressed are those of the DJ and not those of WDOT station members, and we therefore ask you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. Hope you've enjoyed our expose on privacy in the schools. We now leave you with continuous WDOT programming.